Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're joined by Peter Rosenberg, who's a portfolio manager with Dynamic Funds, and have him and his partner David Fingold have had tremendous success, not just last year managing through the pandemic, but a good long-term
record. Over the years,
they've absolutely
had a great performance. There's a reason why we've partnered with them in our portfolios. There's a reason why we are comfortable in their process. But I think it's important that when we look at what's happened, where things are, how they've positioned their portfolio, the clarity on what they do to get the results that they get is the most important part. It's the structure, it's the discipline, it's the process that's really important. I think that that's something that investors and people watching these markets have to understand, because the market itself is not a barometer of what really can happen in a portfolio when you have that structure and discipline.
So that's a really good segue, Peter. Thank you for sticking around during the break here. I've got a question for you, because your portfolios tend to be fairly concentrated. You talked a little bit about moving from 20 to 25 positions. Maybe speak to us about that concentration and the importance of active management, maybe versus passive management, index investing in this kind of environment.
Okay, so thank you very much for your question. I think it's a good one. So I think it's very hard to be good at everything. So we focus. We focus on quality, we said, and we concentrate on our best ideas to maximize outcomes. I think focus is a key success trait in anything that one does. And I think concentration also simplifies management, and it forces you to make hard decisions on relative performance. And I think that's important, too. And I think the research shows that you can achieve satisfactory diversification with 20 stocks. And like I said, we own about 25. I think it would be hard to manage 60 to 100 stocks in a portfolio. And I'm not sure that I would add a lot of value. You know, when the market was more narrowly focused, like I mentioned, U.S. mega cap stocks, prevailed. And we were closer to 20 because the market was more narrow. But now, as breadth has expanded, where I think 95% of stocks are trading over their 200-day moving average, we have expanded the number of stocks and sectors too.
Peter, can I just go in regards to that comment about adding value? You're going to hear a lot of people say or get the advice that just buy the index, that outperforming or providing alpha over the index is very challenging, and you don't get rewarded most of the time for it. You have been, your entire portfolio has been. So what's the reply to that passive investing versus your concept of active investing, where you've seen the results and maybe you don't get all the credit that you guys deserve for how well you have performed?
Okay, so the market has moved increasingly in years to ETFs or passive investing. And the thinking on it, I believe, is that the research shows that most portfolio managers are not able to beat the market. And given the fees that active portfolio managers charge, they tend to underperform. But I think the research is equally clear on the basis that if you don't mimic the market, then you can have results that are better than the market. And I think the research bears that out too. So I think that's the issue, which is, If indeed you feel you can't get a portfolio manager to beat the market, then certainly this is the reason why this industry has grown so much. But if you can beat the market using a concentrated approach, focusing on quality, focusing on dividend-paying stocks, which equally have a fantastic long-term track record, then I think that that's sensible. And especially in the context that when you own the market, you own all the stocks. It means you own the bad ones and you own the good ones. And, you know, our preference is to only own the good ones.
Now, Peter, you've mentioned in regards to the dividend-paying stocks. And I think that's a very good point that you're making, that they do outperform. But it's a certain type of dividend-paying stock that outperforms. It's what we've heard and what we see in our industry is that many investors will buy those high dividend payers that just pay that dividend on time, or sometimes we hear the terminology, the widow and orphans type of stock, that you just hold on to it and just live off the dividends, you're going to be fine. That doesn't always give you the growth that you need. Give me a bit more of a viewpoint of what your thoughts are and how you look at dividend paying stocks in the portfolio.
Sure. So when we look at dividend-paying stocks, we think of dividends not as a means to create income, but as an underpinning of what a quality company is. Quality companies, especially like you're underlining, are companies that pay increasing dividends. Companies that pay dividends that don't grow, or companies that pay high dividends, tend not to grow. And therefore, the highest returns come from companies with growing dividends. Equally, you know, you were talking about a strategy of buying, you know, high dividend paying stocks. These typically come from telephone companies, utilities, banks to some extent. The issue is, you know, what type of risk are you taking when you're buying those type of companies? What type of diversification do you have? And are you getting the best return? What I think is that that investors are basically trading away growth and return for the reliability of a dividend, and at the same time, they're taking a high risk, particularly in this low-rate environment when rates could go much higher in the future and put pressure on these type of investments.
Peter, I want to get your sense. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, but I'd like you to do a little prognosticating for us and give a sense of what the rest of 2021 looks like and what some of the main drivers will be, what areas we can look at. You said valuations matter. Some are concerned about high valuations in the stock market and yields rising. Just give us a sense of what 2021 holds going forward from here.
Okay. So as you know, we're bottoms-up investors. So, you know, I don't know what the market's going to do, but I'll tell you what I think the economy is going to do. And I think the economy is going to perform. And I think it's going to perform because we're seeing record stimulus. We're seeing significant pent-up demand. And, you know, there's good precedent for this that we've seen, you know, after World War One, which coincidentally came with a pandemic. So I think the consumer is going to be the best place to be. That's who was most negatively impacted during this downturn. And that balance sheet is strong. Those savings are strong. And that's where pent-up demand is highest. But in general, we want to own stocks with cyclical upside that are going to benefit from the reopening, and stocks that can grow beyond the easy comparison in 21, likely with higher quality attributes as the cycle matures. We think that earnings estimates also for cyclicals are understated in this pandemic, and we think that valuations of cyclicals are more attractive. And so we find these attractive cyclicals in discretionary, as I've noted, particularly in retailing, but also in industrials, also in technology hardware. If I wanted to make one proviso, I would say that the market has bid up these stocks for sure, and comparisons in 2020 will be easy. So some of the upside has now been discounted. But I think it's important to take a look at companies that can grow through 22 and therefore have more enduring value. So in that context, you know, we might look back later in the year to look at software. That's an area that has been a consistent performer. That's where the fundamentals are very attractive, with strong oligopolistic positions, strong cash flow, strong earnings, strong margins, strong balance sheets. But I don't know if they're going to do as well as cyclicals right here, right now, given that they will not benefit as much from the reopening, and they had been beneficiaries of the recent downturn. And then lastly, I think we would avoid defensive stocks, stocks like utilities, which typically underperform in an upcycle and which will likely be hurt, you know, should rates continue to go up as we expect.
Peter, I want to thank you very much for your time today. We've appreciated the last 20 minutes you spent with us and some of the insights about where we've been, where we are today, and where we're going. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your show.
We've been joined by Peter Rosenberg, who's portfolio manager of Dynamic Funds, and him and his partner, David Fingold, have done a fantastic job navigating through all kinds of different markets, including the most recent pandemic. Now, Listen, we got to make sense of this, right? We're talking about balance sheets and where should you be? Cyclicals, defensives, utilities, all this positioning, but it all has to boil down into supporting a lifestyle. And we're talking about that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, April 20th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Is your post-pandemic spending going to blow up your retirement? Let's talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.